honor. As we speak, it's becoming, or it is already, depending on how you look at the Bein HaShemoshes Rosh Chodesh Av, a time that most of us probably wish Tisha B'Av would be over already and be holding by Shabbos Nachamu. But it takes 9 days, no matter how we slice it. But it is a time appropriate for some introspection and maybe even for some attempt at problem solving. We know we have a lot of problems, a lot of challenges, a lot of threats, a lot of difficulties. And it seems that they're all, I believe all, a factor of the fact that we're in Golus. We don't have a Beis HaMikdosh. We don't have a place where we go and the Shechina is almost palpable. You can almost feel it there. We have a Koisel to a certain extent. We feel it, but not the Beis HaMikdosh. The Kohanim doing the Avodah, the Leviim, B'Shiram U'Bezimram. It's something that we sorely lack. The world sorely lacks. The Beis HaMikdosh was a Beisi-based Tfilo Yikori L'Chol Amim. All the nations of the world used to come. That was the place to pray. That was known as the closest that you can get to connection to the creator of the world. And lacking that, and having been sent into exile, and having been soivel this exile for what's coming close to 2,000 years, well, we certainly have had a great deal of challenge, to say the least. Pages of our history are stained with all types of difficulties, tragedies, and certainly unique in the world history in terms of what we have been through and what we continue to go through. And in the midst of all of that, we have to find some means to be able to rise above it, to be able to have a more positive attitude, to be able almost to see the benefits that arrive out of the difficulties and the challenges that we have always been facing. And that's what I would like to spend a few moments this evening talking about. There's a very interesting comment from the Vilna Gaon. The Gemara tells us that the Churban Bayis Sheni, which was the beginning of the Golos that we find ourselves in today, was brought about because of Sinas Chinom. And Chofetz Chaim explains that it was Sinas Chinom with Loshon Hara, you know, the pettiness between people and the jealousy and the willing not to be friends and to express to allow friction between people, and then of course to talk about them and furthering the friction with Loshon Hara and so forth. And this was the cause, the makibe patish, the ultimate final straw that caused the churban and the golos. But the Goyin says that behind it all, underneath it all, there was something else. It was a lack of bitochin. It was a lack of trust in Hashem. Because had this generation been full with the appropriate measure of bitochen in Hashem, then these things wouldn't have happened. When you trust Hashem, there's no need for jealousy. Hashem provides for everybody. Everybody He provides for according to what they need and what they're supposed to have. And the pettiness disappears. Even if you hurt me, I know that that's from Hashem. You can't do me any harm. Everything is from Hashem. And Mimela, it takes away all of this pettiness, all of this friction, all of this jealousy, all of this sinas chinom. There's no need for that. There's no need for Loshon Hara, because I rely on Hashem and everything else is almost irrelevant. And he says that's the underlying cause. That's why there was sinas chinom and there was Loshon Hara. And ultimately, it's the chisorin, the lack of bitochin, that is the culprit for the golus in which we find ourselves today. That being the case, if we could explore some way of strengthening that bitochen. Who knows? We might in the same time not only be strengthening ourselves, not only be giving ourselves the peace of mind that the Baal Bitochen has because he knows everything is in the hands of Hashem, not only would we be able to bring about positive results in the Golus, the fulfillment of our heart's desires in the Golus, but maybe even we'd be able to bring about the end to this bitter Golus. Because if in fact, as the Goyin says, the underlying cause was a chesor and bitochen, correcting that might make all the difference in the world, not only on a personal level, not only on a communal level, but on a national level for Klal Yisrael. And that, of course, is something that we all look forward to. Truth be told, we really say this every day in Shemoneh Esrei. There's a brocha where we await the coming of Mashiach. Es tzemach David avducho meheiro tatzmiach. That's the descendant of David HaMelech, the Mashiach, should rise forth. Vekarnoi torum bishua secho. And he should appear and announce and be part of the Yeshua, the salvation of Klal Yisrael. Why? Ki lishu oscho kivinu kol hayoim. Because we have hoped. Hope is a form of bitochen. I refuse to give up hope. I refuse to give in. No matter how dangerous, no matter how difficult, no matter how dismal it appears, Yeshua Hashem keheref ayin, Yeshua could come in the blink of an eye, and I won't give up hope. Ki lishuoscho kivinu kol hayoim. Because all day long we await your salvation, we await your Yeshua, that's why the Mashiach is going to come. Seems that it doesn't mean we're awaiting for the Mashiach all day long, ki lishuoscho kivinu, not kol yoim, every day, kol hayoim, which means as we go through the day, I'm not thinking this moment about Mashiach, I'm thinking about my parnosa, I'm thinking about my children, I'm thinking about my problems, I'm thinking about what I'm going to make for dinner, whatever it may be. But lishuoscho kivinu kol hayoim, all day long, no matter what life brings my way, I'm constantly hoping, refusing to give up hope, that you're going to take care of me, that the Yeshua is going to come, lishuoscho, your Yeshua, the Yeshua from you will come. If that's the case, then the reality is living a life of bitochen, living a life of hope, refusing to give up hope, not getting desperate, not getting anxious, not being, oy vavoy li, what's going to be? No, I always have hope. Afilu cherev chodo munach al savor shel odom al yimnes atzmin arachamim. There could be a sharp sword on the back of the neck of the person. Don't ever give up hope. Don't give up hope from the Rachmi Dishmaya, from Hashem's mercy. And we know Yeshua's Hashem comes in the blink of an eye. In the blink of an eye. So don't give up. It's desperate. It's impossible. It's beyond. There's no chance. There's no chance. Really, there's no human chance. Yeshua's Hashem Kerevayin, and therefore we live in a whole different reality. Truth is that it's brought from the Arizal that he says that when we say these words in Shemoneh Esrei, Ki lishuoscho kivinu kol hayoim, if we focus on the tzoros that we have, not just the golus and the Mashiach, but the tzoros, the day, the tog teglecha, the daily tzoros that we go through and challenges that we have and the difficulties and the pain and the anxiety, then that, he says, is a very powerful force to bring about the fulfillment of our heart's desires, to help resolve the problems that vex us. So in reality, this is a formula for personal success as well. Constantly hoping, constantly focusing, constantly realizing that ki lishuoscho kivinu kol hayoim. It helps also to realize what the Meforshim say. We say to Hashem lishuoscho. That has two meanings. To the salvation that you will bring for us, lishuoscho can also mean your salvation. What does that mean? Because in reality, we have to know that b'chol tzorosom lo yitzor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shares with us in our problems, feels with us, kaviyochol, in human terms, we understand it, with our problems. He's with us in our problems. And when the Yeshua comes, it's his Yeshua to his problem as much, maybe even more, than it is to our problem. Because he carries that burden. And he feels our pain. So it's Lishuoscho, the Yeshua from you that we await all day long. And it's the Yeshua for you that we await all day long. A complete and total connection and realization that everything is dependent on Hashem. I remember once many years ago in the San Fernando Valley, there was a bookkeeper in one of the schools. She was a very nice, intelligent woman. She wasn't a religious woman. But I put a sign, a little one of those post-it notes, on her door, behind her, on her wall, behind her desk. The Yeshuas Hashem keheref ayin. The salvation comes in the blink of an eye. And after a few months, she asked me a question. She says, I get it. I get it. Every month or every 2 weeks, whenever the payroll was, when the day of the payroll comes, the money comes in, everything works out, it comes together. And she says, why does he always have to blink the last minute? Why can't he blink a few minutes before? And I never thought of that question, I must admit. But I told her, I said, you know, if he blinks early, you won't know that he's blinking. Ah, we have rich Balabatim, we have good fundraisers, we have a big tuition base, we're in a very affluent community, we have this, we have that. No, no, no. But he blinks the last minute, you know, hey guys, I'm blinking. There's no question about it. There's no room for any doubt, there's no room for any question, because you see, obviously, it's a miracle. It was over. It was too late. It's gone. It can't be. It's beyond. I'm giving up hope. No, no, no. Afilu cherev chodo munachal tzavorei shel odom. Al yimna es atzmi min orachami. Because Yeshua Hashem is terrifying. So I think it's in these areas, it's in these things, that we have to try to strengthen ourselves. And especially in these times, in these days, when this could make such a difference in so many different ways for each and every one of us, and in a broader sense, for Klal Yisrael in general. The concept of bitochin is really an amazing, amazing concept. We recently discovered in the Beis Halevi, that was Rabbi Sheber Soloveitchik, the father of Rabbi Chaim Brisker, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. There's a book, actually, Art Scroll just, very interesting, Art Scroll just published three major works in English on Bitochen. The Chavis HaLevavos Shara Bitochen, the Beis HaLevi on Bitochen, and the Madregos HaOdom on Bitochen. Now, if Art Scroll published these three books, and they have their pulse on the Jewish community, it means the time is ripe for people to take an interest and to begin to work even more intensively on Bitochen, because they know where it is. They know how to do it. So this is really what we have to focus on a little bit now. Anyway, we saw in the Beis HaLevi something very interesting. He says, a posuk in Mishlei, Cherdas Odom Yitein Moikesh, the fear that a person has will be a stumbling block. Ubeiteach Bashem Yesugov, but one who puts his trust in Hashem will be elevated. And he seems to learn Pshat as follows. He says, what does it mean? It will give a moikesh, it will be a stumbling block. He seems to say like this, he doesn't spell it out, but this is what he seems to mean. He says, really, the difficulties, the challenges, the pressures of life are really like a figment of our imagination. It's like a mirage. There seems to be a problem here. There's a parnosa issue. There's a health issue. There's a shidduch issue. There's another crisis. And we see, oh, there's something there. But in reality, it's not there. It depends on our reaction. Cherdas Odom, the fear that we have instead of having bitochin, yitein moikesh. Now there's a stumbling block. All of a sudden, this mirage became a reality. Because instead of trusting Hashem, I'm panicking. I'm falling apart at the seams. I'm having a nervous breakdown. I'm so worried. I'm so pained. I'm so nervous. I'm so anxious. But if my response to this mirage, to this figment of my imagination, which seems to be a problem in my imagination, but it's really only imaginary. If my attitude is Boitech Bashem, the problem disappears. There's no problem. It doesn't exist anymore. Now that is a very difficult and high level of bitocha, no question. But we have to realize that's where we could go. We literally have the power to take a danger, a challenge, a problem that faces us, and either solidify it into a real problem through the fear rather than the bitochin, or actually make the problem disappear. No, what was I was dreaming. It was no, there was no problem. Must have been a dream. Doesn't exist. Boitech Hashem Yisugov. So it's certainly a very worthwhile pursuit to pursue and to attempt to strengthen this bitochin. But there's another benefit, besides the benefit of changing the reality, of affecting the reality, of impacting the reality. And by the way, there's a very beautiful comment from one of the Sfardish Rishonim. It's called Avrom Ben Namuch. It's a manuscript, I guess, that they found not that long ago. And he says there, you know, there's a posuk in Tehillim, in Perek Chofei. David HaMelech says, Elikai b'cho botachti aleivoisho. I put my trust in you. Don't let me be embarrassed. It'll be very embarrassing that I trusted you and you don't deliver for me. But the next pasuk says, "Gam kol kivecho lo yevoishu." All those, also those that hope, not trust, but hope. What's the difference? So he explains, trust is a stronger form of confidence. I just something from within just makes me feel. I just know you're not going to let me down. I have this feeling. I have this message almost that comes from inside and says, I understand Hashem's chesed and his rachman. I know how much he loves us. I know how much I feel. He feels my pain. I know much, even if I'm not worthy, I know that he gives to people who are not worthy also. And I just got this feeling he's going to help me. Kivui, he says, gam kol kivecha. I'm not on that level. I don't have that sense of surety, but I won't lose hope. Hope means I'm still hoping. I don't know what's going to be, but I'm not giving up hope. It looks dismal, I'm not giving up hope. It seems impossible, I'm not giving up hope. Shuras Hashem Kerefayim. He says, Gam kol kivecha lo yevoishu, that too will bring about the resolution to our problems. So we don't have to be holding necessarily by the highest level of bitochen that says, I'm sure Hashem is going to help my problem, but I refuse to give up hope. Ki lishuoscho kivinu kol hayoim, that too has the ability. I won't be embarrassed for that either. And Hashem will, in fact, he says, Ya'aneim v'yoshiheim. He'll answer them and he will save them just in the merit of the fact that they refuse to give up hope. So refusing to give up hope is also a very significant level of bitochen. But there are two benefits. One is, of course, the benefit. I can affect the future. I can take a mirage and make it disappear. It never existed. I have a problem, and all of a sudden, there's a solution. And the solution can come at the last moment. But it has something else, which is so precious. Rashi says in Parshas Bahar, when the Pasuk says, Yishavtem lo vetach be'artzachem, Rashi says, bitochin, the word betach, is the absence of worry. Bitochin does something else. I'm not worried. He's in charge. He cares. He loves me. He feels my pain. He maybe cares about my problem even more than I care myself. And he's capable of doing anything. And his MO is very often at the last moment. Yeshua Hashem Kerefayin at the last minute, so that we should recognize that it's him. So what am I worried about? Nothing to worry about. Menuchas HaNefesh. If we can achieve in life any modicum of influencing the future in any way, slightly more or less, depending on how strongly we feel and how we've internalized this message, and also in the process feel a tranquility, feel a peace of mind, feel it's not my problem, feel as David HaMelech said, "Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcho v'Huyachal Kalecho." Take your pekel, your burden with your tzoros, throw it on Hashem. And he'll sustain you. He'll take care of it. It's his problem now. Imagine what a peace of mind. What menuchas hanefesh? We live in a society that feels so much anxiety. It could be that the anxiety is more painful to us than even the fact that we haven't found a resolution to our problem. Because even if I didn't find the resolution, but I'm okay, all right, I can handle it, I can live with it. But the anxiety kills us. Stress. We live in a society that's so stressed, that has found the most creative and insane and ridiculous forms of coping with that stress, because the stress is so overwhelming. And there's a very simple formula. Hashlecha l'Hashem Yehovcho. It's Hashem. I hope to Hashem. What am I worried about? I don't lose hope. If I lose hope, I worry. If I have hope, what am I worried about? And if I have bitochon, I take it even further. I just, something from within. It's not that I have any assurance. I don't have a promise. But I know his chesed. David HaMelech said, "Vani b'chastucho botachti." I trusted in your chesed. David HaMelech was hiding in a cave. He was being pursued by his enemies. He said, "I trust your chesed." Your geili bibishu asecho. So the builder going explains, it's a future lotion. I know that my heart will rejoice in the Yeshua. I know I will rejoice. The Yeshua will for sure come. The fact that I have such a confidence in your kindness, that sends me a message, that gives me a feeling, that inspires me, that so, and the menuchas hanefesh that gives. You know, I have found very interesting, at the beginning it was a shocker to me, talking to groups of people who were avowed atheists. I don't believe in any of this stuff. And when you talk to them about bitochen, all of a sudden, I wish I could believe. Can you convince me? Can you really convince me that it's true? I want it. Because it's so precious. Everybody wants it. It represents the influence on the future. And it represents a formula, a surefire formula, medication-free, pill-free, drink-free, everything else. And it's for free, too. Everything else you have to pay for. A formula to get rid of my anxiety. So it's really, really, really an amazingly powerful way of life that we have. And people who don't even say, I don't believe that. Anytime a Jew tells me, so I'm not be cursed. Oh, come on, please let me. It's a pleasure to meet you. I want to sit down. I never met one before. And turns out I didn't meet one since. But anyway, but they think they don't, but I want to, because this is the formula for life. This is what I need. This speaks to the greatest problem that we have in our society. And there is, in fact, an answer. But in order to develop and expand this confidence and this sense of hope in Hashem, we do need some insights, some help, I would suggest, in coping with the challenges as they are. Because sometimes the challenges seem so overwhelming that it depresses me. It doesn't allow me to be optimistic. I have questions. What is Hashem doing? If he's the Avinu Ha'ov HaRachamon, then where's the Rachmanas? What's happening? And there are so many issues in life which can really give us such a feeling. Number one, we know such a feeling is not intellectual. There are no intellectual questions on Hashem. Because until I can understand Him and His world, which is beyond us, an intellectual question doesn't make sense. I'm going to ask Albert Einstein a question on his theory of relativity. I have no clue what the theory of relativity means. Zero. Oh, but I'm going to engage him in a debate about the truth of this theory. Insanity. No shaykhus. Same thing. We're going to engage the Borei Olam in a discussion about whether he's running his world in a proper way. No intellectual. It's emotional. It hurts. The pain, the suffering. And sometimes the pain that others suffer hurts even more. Sometimes people have challenges. They sort of make sense out of it. They learn something from it. They grow from it. But seeing sometimes other people suffering is beyond. It's like, what's going on over here? Like, I can't handle it. So we have to have some way to make some sense out of, I wouldn't say some sense, but to make some coping mechanisms to cope with the challenges that do exist. And there are a number of things that we have to focus on. But I'd just like to highlight just a few. There's a very interesting comment from the Tosfos Reed. He was a Rishon in his Haggadah. His Haggadah, I don't even know if it's in print, but today they have it on all these, the Oitzar Chochma, they find all kinds of Sforim that you don't even know exist. And he has a question. He says, we thank Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. He says, if he wouldn't have put us in, he wouldn't have to take us out. What's the gewalt? What are you getting all excited about? Shkoyach. You know, like, it's like beating somebody like this, and all of a sudden you stop and say, oh, thank you very much. You know, he didn't have to put us in. So he says like this. It's on the words in the Haggadah, Mitchila Oivdei Avodah Zorah Hoyo Aviseinu. We started off in our way back history as descendants of Terach. Terach was an idol worshiper. And as such, there was some pgam, some blemish, some genetic blemish that the Klal Yisrael carried, the descendants of Avram Avinu, who were descendants of Terach, carried within them. And because of that, Hashem could not justify with Shuras Hadin, with the Mishpat with which he conducts the world, because when we earn something, we appreciate it much more, and that's why there's mishpat in the world. It's mine. I'm not embarrassed. I have ownership on it. With the system that he has, he couldn't justify giving us something so great, so precious, so unique. So he developed a system. I like to call it not a system of mishpat, but a system of entitlements. You know what entitlements are? A lot of people get entitlements. You didn't earn it, but you deserve it by dint of ABC. Let's not go into that, okay? Whatever the reason may be, okay? So now this, he has an entitlement program. He said like this. He put us in Mitzrayim. He made us go through difficulty, made us suffer. V'chasaleinu. And he had Rachmonis on us. And now with Rachmonis, he was able to justify giving us way beyond what we ever could have earned or what we ever could have deserved. Hashem has an entitlement program. And it's really, really very significant. And the entitlement program goes something like, you know, I don't know, some of you people must know or must have met Holocaust survivors. Amongst the Holocaust survivor generation, there was often the attitude of, es kommt mir, it's coming to me. What's coming to you? I never saw you before in my life. I suffered. If I suffered, I deserve some special attention, special treatment, special benefits. Eretz Yisrael, supposedly they have such a thing. I heard there were some scandals that they don't deliver properly. But people who went through the Holocaust, nothing else, deserve certain entitlements from the government just by dint of the fact that they suffered that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes puts us in situations to give us above and beyond. Now you know what that means? That means sometimes when I'm going through a difficult situation, and I can't fathom why, what did I ever do to deserve this? I can't figure out anything that I did that should be terrible, horrible enough that I should be deserving of this challenge. And sometimes we have to realize, sometimes you're right. There is nothing. It's only because Hashem wants to take you beyond. He wants to give you beyond what he ever could justify in din, but to give you this entitlement because of the fact that you went through the challenges. Now, this is something that we have to keep in mind. And sometimes when we go through difficulties in life, you know, Chazal tell us when we have difficulties, we should be mefashrish b'maisa, we should look, see, what did I do? Maybe I can improve myself. But when I see that, this is above and beyond. I can't imagine what this is, any message in terms of improvement. Sometimes it's just the ultimate expression of love. The expression that says, I want to give you beyond what I could ever justify. And therefore, I put you in this situation. And with Rachmonis, I'm going to now be able to give you. If a person who's going through difficulty can have the mindset and the trust in Hashem that it's very possible that I'm going through this because what awaits me is beyond. And I must say that so many people who have gone through difficulties, difficulties in shiduchim, difficulties in business, difficulties in personal relationships and so forth, have eventually, if they hung in there and they waited it out and have seen, wow, this never could have happened. this is above and beyond. This is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And sometimes it's only through the path of challenge and difficulty that we can get to this point and be able to be zeiche to this type of entitlement. This concept of entitlement, we find in Chazal, for example, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta has a piece where it says there was a drought, and one person went up to the Omer Nidavin, and nothing happened. The next one went up and started to rain. A baskel came out from heaven and said, not because one was greater than the other, but one was mavre al amidos. He had this midah that always mavater, always okay, never had hakpoda, never upset with people. And the other one wasn't. So Rabbi Yisrael asked the question, if that's the case, then he was greater than the other one. The one who was mavre al amidos was greater. So what does the baskel mean? So he says, one was a Talmud of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai held, you're not supposed to be Maral Amidus. You're supposed to have this, a different Shita. Beis Hillel held, you have to be Maral Amidus. So he says, in Godless they were equal, because each one followed his Messiah. But there's a special entitlement that one who is Maral Amidus, Mavir lo al kol pshov, because he is Mavir, he forgives others. Mido keneged Mido, Hashem forgives him, and his tefillos can be more accepted than anyone else. So we see this concept of an entitlement. We also see, and especially now, as we approach Tisha B'Av and the anniversary of the Churban, so to speak, Maral Amidos is really the opposite of Loshon Hara and Sinas Chinam. There's no reason to hate. Okay, he did something. It wasn't so nice. It was insensitive. Call it Maral Amidos. Hashem says, you're Mavir? You overlook the things that people do inappropriately to you? Then I'm going to have to overlook those things that you do inappropriately to me. So it certainly has a benefit in that direction as well. I think that there's also something else that I think that we also have to keep in mind. Sometimes, when we look at the challenges, the difficulties, the tragedies that our people have faced throughout the millennia, we get overwhelmed, and it bothers us. We don't understand it. And emotionally, we said, not intellectually, because there's no kashas on Hashem intellectual, but emotionally, it's painful. Painful. Every episode we hear, everything we read, everything we remember, and especially we sit on Tisha B'Av in the kinos and reviewing so many tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. It's painful. So, like, how do we deal with it? One of the ways to deal with it, since it is emotional, not intellectual, is with a counter emotion. We think about the close to 2,000 years of Golus, what our people have been through. Goylo achar goylo, churban achar churban, sent from one place to another, to another, to another, and constantly on the run, constantly on the move, constantly on the retreat, constantly under fire. On the other hand, look around at the world. No one, no nation, no religion, no identifiable group has been able to survive intact exactly the way we were 2,000 years ago and 3,000 years ago and more, despite everything else. No homeland, no place to hang our hats, no security in any place we go. The minute we reach the position of security, time to go, next exile. And yet, here we are today, close to 2,000 years in Golus, and yes, we're celebrating the Churban, but we're alive and well, and we're aware of it, and we live a life of Torah and mitzvahs, and we keep the same Shabbos that has been kept for thousands of years, and we eat the same kashrus that has been kept for thousands of years, and we say the same Shema Yisrael that's been said for thousands of years, and so forth, and so on, and so forth, and so on. This, Rabbi Yankov Emden, in the Hakdama to his Siddur, swears by his life says, Chai Nafshi. He says that these miracles that have allowed the survival of the Klal Yisrael throughout the Golos are greater than the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Makos that took place, greatest miracles. Kriyas Yamsuf, not Shaykh. We walk through on dry land. They're drowning at the same moment. This is greater. The survival of Klal Yisrael intact. Klal Yisrael and the Torah following the same derech in life, keeping the same tariq mitzvahs to whatever extent we have, with certain mitzvahs we don't have today. And as we've been doing, as our fathers did, and our grandfathers, and our mothers did, and our grandmothers, and our great-grandmothers, and great-great-great-great-great-grandmothers, and great-great-great-great. Machayich. When you look at that chesed, you see the chesed Hashem. You see the nemonus of Hashem. You see his love for Klal Yisrael. Now, it's true that there's been a lot of difficulty in the process, but if we measure it and we say, hey, we went through difficulties, but look what's going on. And he's still with us. His miracles are with us. His Hashgacha Pratis is with us. If we open our eyes, we see Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis in everything we do. Everyone sitting in this room and anyone who might ever hear this conversation can tell us stories, mind-boggling stories, of the, let's call them nisim nistorim in the Lashon of the Ramban, hidden miracles that take place in everyone's life. We all have such stories. Sometimes we bury them, sometimes we don't notice them, sometimes we don't pay attention to them, sometimes we forget them, but they're all there. So Hashem has not only assured the survival of the Klal Yisrael, but has taken care of us in the minutest detail in everything that we do. And I want to just, for a moment, share with you a personal story or two, just to bring this point out and hope that it will inspire others to search in their own lives and to see Hashem's Hashgacha, to see the Yad Hashem, and to find strength in that emotionally, to be able to go through these days until Tisha B'Av and whenever we have challenges in life, and to be able to feel that despite all the challenges, we're in tune and we're the constant, ongoing beneficiaries of Hashem's Chesed. We lived for about 10 years in the San Fernando Valley, building a yeshiva there. It was probably, at the time, one of the most unlikely places in the world to make a yeshiva. We were there for a couple of years, and financially, it was very, very difficult. It wasn't the wealthy community either, and it wasn't necessarily very supportive of, you know, what we were offering. At least, you know, a lot of people weren't. And a lot of strain and difficulty. It was a summer night, maybe like around now, and my 8-year-old daughter was at day camp. She was going to on a trip the next day. It was 10:30 at night. She asked her father for 75 cents. And he answered, I don't have 75 cents. She was a little bit surprised, maybe. I don't know. But things were tough. What should I do? You say Tehillim. Okay, she's a good girl. Sit down with a Sefer Tehillim. I don't think she was so impressed with the wisdom, but she, you know, okay, she'll do it. A little sister joins her and they're saying Tehillim. A few minutes later, after she finishes a few kapitlach, she says, I don't get it. It's 10:30 at night, 7:30 in the morning, I have to leave the house. Where's the money going to come from? Like, if you don't have the money, you don't have the money. And the little kid mumbles something, maybe someone will give you this. She goes without the money. She comes back with a story. She says, a friend of hers that morning woke up. She lived in the city 10 miles away. And she remembered that at the Purim Carnival, she borrowed 75 cents from the Cohen girl. And they never spoke about it. She never paid her back. She forgot all about it. That morning, she comes to camp. But 4 months later, I think it's about 4 months from Purim to the summer, she gives her the 75 cents that she owes her. My kids learned such a lesson from this story. Hashem listens to tefillah. Hashem sends messages from the Mispalalim here in the San Fernando Valley, 10 miles away, to someone who lives in the city, that when she wakes up in the morning, she's going to have this ridiculous thought that she hasn't thought of for 4 months, that she owes this poor kid 75 cents. And Hashem cares about little things. 75 cents he gets involved with. And I believe that this was a foundational moment for a development of an appreciation, of searching and looking and seeing the Yad Hashem. I'd like to leave you with one more story, which I believe takes it almost full circle. It was maybe a few years later, and finances weren't doing that much better, but anyway, it was the summertime, and we had sent away a number of graduates to learn in yeshivas. And there were about five or six very solid bochrim who were back for the summer, and they were negotiating with me about staying on in the Beis Medrash. We had a small token Beis Medrash, mostly a high school. We wanted to send as many away as possible. So they said one condition they have: not only should I give a daily shir, which I used to do, but I have to be in the Beis Medrash the whole morning seder for 4 hours in the morning, because there's not that many people there to be able to talk and learning and so forth. I said, I don't know if I can make such a commitment. I owed a few $100,000 from previous years, and I have to raise another few $100,000, and I have to teach also in the high school after this. How can I make 4 hours a day? I'm afraid to make such a commitment. Give me 24 hours. I don't want to make a rash decision. I go home and I ask my wife. She says, a Mishnah before Reshes and Pirkei Avos. Omer Reb Nechunya ben Akona. Hamakabel olav oil toiro. Ma'avir menu al malchus vol derech eretz. If you accept the burden of Torah, then the burden of Malchus, which I assume means payroll taxes, that's a killer, payroll taxes for a high school, and they're Eretz, they're making money. I'm a Kabbalah. Next morning, I meet these Chevra, I say Rosh Chodesh El, which is about a week away. I'm being the Beis Medrash the full morning Seder. That very night, I met a young man, says, if my father wants to talk to you, he has something for you in mind. I call his father, he introduces me to someone. A person was very sick, had no family, a terrible matzav. He lived what looked like in abject poverty. He wrote a will, and he passed away. Yud Zayin El had no clue how much money he had, if any, left the yeshiva $1 million. The day that I was mekabel the oil Torah, as per my wife's advice, ma'avir me'o malchus vol derech eretz. But there's even a deeper message over here. We're so privileged. I want to ask you a question. When Hashem taught Reb Nechunya ben Hakona that Mishnah at Har Sinai 3,335 years ago, at the time it was a little bit less, did he have me in mind or not? Did he have me in mind that my wife is going to tell this Mishnah to me and I'm going to act accordingly, and the next day he's going to deliver this $1 million donation? If you say he didn't, that's terrible. Hashem knows everything. Hashem sees everything. He's not limited, not by time, not by space, not by knowledge, not by anything. So that means this Mishnah from Rabbi Chuni ben Hakona was a personal message to me from the Bnei Olam. Is it a wonder that we have survived the Golos? We not only have a Torah, we have a Torah which has personalized messages to each and every one of us in every one of the challenging situations of life. If we think in these terms, and we strengthen ourselves in our connection with Hashem, and we strengthen that sense of hope, and we strengthen that sense of trust, and we realize that Hashem can do everything, loves us intensely, mole chesed v'rachamim, wants to help us, feels our pain even more than us, and has sent us these messages personally addressed. Dear so-and-so, love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It should be a little bit easier for us to find the strength, to find that hope in times of difficulty, to find that bitochon in life. And hopefully, in these days, as we approach Tisha B'Av, to make a major difference in our own lives, and maybe with the collective efforts of all of us together, even in a broader sense, in the life and the future of Klal Yisrael. Hashem should help that we should be zeicher to see the Binyan Beis HaMikdosh b'mheiru b'yomeinu, and this Tisha B'Av, we should celebrate the Simcha.